does as well.
The 4584PX is basically a 7950X. And then going down from there, the 4464, I think, is a 79 something. And then it goes down from there.
$315. Fuck me.
Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams. Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly book,
Try again,
a weekly blockchain on the podcast by Tired Validator Nodes. What the fuck was I going for then?
Oh, you rugged us.
What's a tired validator node? I mean, some of them are pretty tired.
Yeah, the one that you're running 1,700 nodes on.
Yeah. The servers never get tired, do they? It's just the validators
that they get tired.
Those hard drives get tired, man.
To be fair, actually, that Aptos StressNet where we literally had that box that we fully destroyed, like it was unresponsive. You couldn't even like fucking ping it. That was what I feel sorry. Like that box, it did a shit job, right? And it died, and it deserved to die, and it deserved to stay down. What I feel sorry for, what I deeply regret, is whether there was any thermal damage to the servers around it. Probably not.
Who gives a shit? Seriously. All that stuff to them is disposable. It doesn't matter. And
I'm pissed off we didn't get the service that we required on that fucking box. But I mean, like somebody else was probably hosting their like mom and pop cookie shop on Drupal or something, you know, on the box next to us. And they couldn't do any like congratulations cards or whatever it is, you know, because we would do degeneracy on the rack next to them. Like that I feel sorry for. Like maybe it was like I don't know, something wholesome, like an animal sanctuary. And they just had to put down all those dogs, usurper, because we were doing degeneracy on the adjacent rack. Right. Those dogs. People were like, we need to drop off these dogs with you today. If we don't, you know, immediate, you know,
the server's down. Why?
The server's down. We don't have any backups.
Oh no.
Mid-tier data center in Europe.
It said it's anyway, melted.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like this is probably like a thing that you know, like the Simpsons already did it type thing. I feel like this is one of those, like there must be a Simpsons plot line that has already used that joke. Isn't that a joke with the Santa's Little Helper 2 or something where they're like, oh, these dogs are cute, and they're like, there better be any of the ones that don't get taken today are getting put down or something like that.
Something like that.
That feels like a Simpsons joke.
Or Whacking Day.
Yeah.
The one where all the snakes come out and Quimby comes out with a huge handful of dead snakes. What's wrong with you people? Because first they're cheering for him, and then they realize that Whacking Day's bad because Lisa goes after him, and he comes out with this huge thing. He's like got a tribal shit on. I'll never understand you people.
You promised me dog or better.
Quimby's a fucking awesome character.
He's such a good character. Why did he appear less in the show? Was it just that, like, was he voiced by somebody who like died or something, or was it
I don't know, actually. I could look. I don't know. He's still around, right? He's still in the, I thought he's even in the recent ones.
Yeah, maybe
that he Kennedy is. Meme never gets old, right? You can't
get old. I always forget who the people are that are voiced by Derek Smalls.
Yeah. That's
I feel like maybe Marge and Krabappel, something like that.
I don't know. Quimby is voiced by Castaneda, whose same as Homer and everybody else, right? I don't remember who.
God, you know, it's never occurred to me before, but some of the voice actors from The Simpsons must be the most loaded people.
Oh yeah.
Because they not only do one character, but they do multiple characters where they're completely irreplaceable.
Yeah. And some only do one, right? Like, I think there's a bunch that, like, Dan does a bunch. And I think, like, Nancy Cartwright, who does Bart, does a bunch. But some of them just do one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, fucking hell. Yeah. Nancy Cartwright must have made a few bucks off of, especially during the Do the Bart Man, all that sort of stuff. You just get rights left, right, and center. Anyway. How are you fellas doing? We see Null's fan. It's hot. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
It's not that hot. Yesterday. It's just that I forgot to turn it off yesterday, so it's still spinning. Do you want me to turn it off? Is it distracting?
It's not. No, it's okay.
No, it's fine.
It's an audio podcast, so really nobody gives a shit.
I mean, there's the stream. There might be some people going into epileptic fit right now.
There's nobody watches the stream.
Hey, there's some viewers, although to be fair, you know.
There is one viewer watching the stream. It's probably either Rama or Sir.
I don't know how that is because there's four people commenting in the...
We survive another week, says Rama in the chat.
You might have survived the week, my friend.
Well.
That is speaking for all of us. I mean, we're still here.
We are demonstrably all still here. And we've even got film recommendations in the chat. Funky says, watch Furiosa at the weekend. Pretty decent. Is pretty decent like a, is that a light 7, a strong 7, a light 8? You know, these are important distinctions. Decent's different things to different people.
Mad Max. Yeah.
Yeah. You seen it?
Nope, I haven't.
I saw the Bike Riders last week. That was, you know, it's the motorcycle gang one with the guy that's in...
Yeah, I watched
Tom
that.
Hardy. Tom Hardy. It's got Tom Hardy in it.
Yeah.
It's got Tom Hardy in it, and it's really like you know, every time you watch Tom Hardy in a film and he's killing it, and then there's that moment in the film where you're like, "Holy shit, I'm watching Tom Hardy, and he's so good at this role. I forgot it was Tom Hardy," and then you remember that you're watching Tom Hardy for the rest of the film. It has that because you're just like, "Damn, he's really good." But then at some point you remember it again, and then you're like, "You can't forget it." Well acted, though, I thought.
I thought it was pretty good. Like, it was a weird, I would recommend it. It was a weird kind of, I wasn't really sure where it was going. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't really obvious where that story was headed.
Yeah.
I thought, and then who's the main?
The good description I heard of it was that the trailer, it's not the film, the trailer and the poster and the box art make it out to be.
Yeah.
It is something different. And when I heard that description from a prominent movie critic, I was like, yeah, okay, that pretty much sums up the film. Because it absolutely was not the film that I thought it would be. And it's hard to say what the fuck it was, actually. But I would recommend it. Like, it was a really good portrait of a group of people at a point in time and how that changes. Like, I guess. I don't know. That's how I would.
Yeah. Yeah, Norman Reedus is in it, which is, he's a good actor, from the West Coast group. That was pretty cool.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he plays, what's his face, isn't
it? Yeah, I don't remember what the hell's
name. The name of the guy is like Fun Time or something, isn't it?
Yeah. And then Austin Butler, like the main guy, I don't know if I've seen him before, which was...
He was in June.
Oh, yeah, right.
Plays
right.
Fade Rautha.
Yep.
But I mean, admittedly, you wouldn't recognize him as Fade Rautha because of all of the makeup and stuff.
Oh, and he was also in Once Upon a Time in America, in Hollywood. I missed that. He plays Tex. Oh, the dude who gets the fucking can to the face.
Yeah. Funky says Elvis as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There you go. Good movie. I would recommend it. The Bike Riders.
Yep. Yes, that's the last film I saw this week. And I had a couple of my friends who I watched Achilles, what was that film? Robot Jocks. The lads who I watched Robot Jocks with. I realized I haven't seen Samurai Cop, so that's all queued up, ready to watch at some point soon. What a film.
I haven't seen that in forever. I know I've seen it though.
So good. Like, we literally, I was trying to sell it to one of them. It's like, I don't know. And I was like, this is definitely your thing. And
I mean, that's a shit movie.
He's like, yeah, no. And because he was literally just in my house, I was like, look, I'm going to just show you. I'm just going to put it on the first 5 minutes of the movie. I know you've got to go. You literally, he works a shift job and he was literally just like in my house having a cup of tea before he went to work. And I was like, I can sell this to you in 3 minutes, guarantee it. And like within 2 minutes, the film started. He was like, Yeah. This is my shit. This is my shit. Like, you're right. 100%. Like, the line was something like, "It's like we've got to go get some bad dudes," and it was just, and you're just like, "This is just so badly written." And then, I think the bit that sold it was they're like leaving the police precinct and they get on the radio and they say like to somebody like, "Hey, where are you?" And then it cuts to like somebody in a police helicopter and they're just landing and they go like, or hey guys, we're just landing, and they're like, don't land. it just fucking doesn't make any sense at all. They just shout at the people in the helicopter, don't land, go to this other place. It's like, they're in a helicopter, dude. What the fuck are you on about?
It's funny.
The writing, oh my god, looks amazing. Anyway,
I'll watch this again.
Yeah, it's I'm already excited. I'm already excited about that. That's going to happen in my weekend. So, you know, Cosmos may be the Cosmos. The other ecosystems may be the other ecosystems. But this weekend, Frey's watching Samurai Cop after having handed in the latest draft of this paper.
So did you get your 20, your 20 required survey submissions? That was, quote unquote, your minimum.
Don't know. Yeah. I think it's going to squeak over. I think it's going to squeak over because I haven't checked it since the end of the working day, because I've been putting a baby to bed and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So at that point, I think including partial responses, I think it might have been 21. So I think we might have squeaked.
Oh, good. Mine. That's what you needed, right?
Yep.
What were you hoping for? What were you expecting?
Honestly, I put 20 because I was like, if we have less than 20, it's completely non-meaningful. But honestly, I was expecting to get maybe 21, 22.
All right. Well, then you hit the mark.
I think like if I've been able to do this when I originally wanted to, and we had access to more stuff, somebody's got Discord open, by the way.
It's fucking null. I know it.
Of course it's fucking null.
I'm going to be spending hours muting out your stupid Discord notifications. That
Richard James.
That nobody cares about. Like, you're getting what? Chihuahua notifications? Nope. Fucking make it stop. Nobody gives a shit. Not important.
I don't know how to make it stop. How do you turn off the fucking notification?
Oh, you quit.
Jesus, you're not even that important. How are you? Does this one happen all day? How do you get anything done if that thing's beeping at you 4 seconds because somebody posted their AirDrop bullshit, whatever the fuck it is?
James is the same way. Every time we have a meeting, it's just constantly bloop, bloop, bloop. I'm like, that's completely meaningless. You have no idea which one is actually worth listening to.
Dude, I'm just going to send you an MP3 of Discord notifications going off for 12 hours continuously. I'm going to make a YouTube channel of Discord notifications going off every 1.1 to 3 seconds, and you can just put it in the background so you can sleep. It's like a white noise for you.
That'd be very nice, actually.
just Discord and Telegram notifications.
You said he's about to get a whole
new every 5 seconds
source of white noise.
Forever.
He's about to get a whole new different source of white noise.
I just turned it off.
A lot more grating.
Jesus. I just turned it off. Does it please you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a social norm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you just don't have Discord notifications at all?
I have it on an amp because I have it going through the speakers, but when we're on this call, I turn that all the way down to zero because there's a level of professionalism. So it's
how are you turning it to zero though?
Because I have an external amp. It's going through an amp, like an extra to external.
Oh, you've got headphones. Yeah. You got your cans. Gotcha. Yeah.
Why do you have them on at all? Like, you need to check Discord 3 times a day. You check it when you get in the morning, you check it at lunch, you check it before you clock off, and then have page duty for out of hours.
Because I try to beat Audrey with the reactions.
Who?
Oh, sorry, Andre. Audrey? Andre. I think it's Andre.
Talking about Notes Guru?
Notes Guru.
Yeah. Impossible. You can't beat him.
You can't, dude. That's a bot.
I just said to him on Slack, I said, you must have a fucking bot, man. There is no way that you can be awake 24 hours a day and fucking reacting to those things so quick.
It's bullshit. Yeah, it's a bot, I'm sure.
That fucking, I know, I agree with it. In like every channel too.
Every like channel across, on every channel. Social platform, just fucking little guru reaction.
Well, I mean, it'd be very, very, very simple. I mean, well, simple in the grand scheme of things to write a bot that just every time it sees a response in a given channel, just thumbs up.
You should have on the website a little thing down in the footer, like reaction count, 1 million.
1 million.
Well, for them, yeah, it'd be pretty high. Their reaction rate is pretty solid.
So many notifications.
Nice.
So do you respond to every one of those Discords and just throw a little crown in there? Crown, 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 crown.
He's already tuned out yourself, but he's already looking at Discord.
Did you mute the podcast as well?
This is like, you know that scene in The Social Network where the lawyery guy is like, I'm sorry, Mr. Zuckerberg. Do I have your full attention? No, you do not. Do you think I deserve your full attention? No, you do not. No. Except that, you know, Noel might be even less likable than Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, that's not true.
Oh, poor little Nolo. Oh, he's so sad in his little fan room.
What the fuck are you on about, man? I'm just trying to live my life.
One notification at a time.
Notice how the notifications have been muted. There you go.
Yeah, I appreciate it. That's nice. That's nice. Cool. Ciao.
It's like the minimum.
Nice.
Minimum nice. Level.
Man. So much stuff to do and so little time.
Well, notifications can't help with that, surely.
No, actually, it is very distracting. I do take time out from my busy schedule to fucking text people on that shit. I go, oh, hey, yeah, man, how are you going? Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Yesterday I got distracted. So I needed to relaunch some nodes, as we were talking about earlier, just more redundant nodes, spray them out there. And actually, the SERP, do you remember a little while ago the Zabbix repo sort of shit the bed a little bit? The Zabbix Ansible community repo. It just would it stopped installing stuff on like Debian and whatever.
Okay.
Do you remember? Anyway. No, sorry. So I used to use that collection to install the Zabbix stuff, right?
I still do. Yeah.
Do you? Oh, okay. Well, yeah. It stopped working for me a while ago. But anyway, so I'd been meaning to just write my own installer with Ansible, and so I'm not relying on that third party thing that just breaks every now and then.
Sure.
So I got distracted doing that instead. So I spent like a good 2/3 of the day making that pretty.
I've been doing a lot of refactoring. I would call it lately.
It was functional in about 30 minutes. And yeah, then I spent, another 5 hours making it.
Making it beautiful. Nice. I did see that I just fixed that actually because I remember what we were talking about because it was breaking for me too. But it looks like all they did is they changed the tags. They got rid of agent one stuff. So all the agent two that was called agent two just turned into agent one. So all you do is go remove all the twos and everything works. That's all it was.
Right. Did you have to do that on your side?
Yeah, it's just when you're calling their playbook, that's all it was. I just had to change because all the add-ins you throw in there, they just renamed a bunch of those add-ins, which isn't very nice. But they, instead of just leaving them and creating the new ones, but that's what it was. And once you change those little tags and everything started working again. So it's back to doing what it should be doing.
You know, that repo is so complicated though.
It is. It is. Yeah.
I was
yeah.
I think out of the 5 hours I spent making mine pretty, two of that was reading through all the files on that repo, and it is just utterly ridiculous. I think it uses every single feature of Ansible.
It does that, and also, but it also uses for every fucking platform across every fucking situation. So, I think I pass. I'm not even kidding. I can go look. I bet you I'm passing it 90 flags, right? It's something like that because you're passing. Like, am I saving time here with this? Like, I don't even know if I'm passing so much shit. But I mean, I think both of our client setups are pretty simple. And the only other issue I get is I have to sudo in on the local machine before it'll actually talk to Zabbix server for some reason, because it's some Mac OS thing that always fucks me up. It's annoying.
There's another thing with it where it's got a dependency and you have to run it as root.
That's what I'm talking about. As long as I sudo first before I run that command and then run it, it'll work. So I don't run the command.
It adds the fingerprints to a different host file as well, which is a pain in the ass.
Oh, that might be different.
That's a Python library it uses for the public IP.
Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't use it. Yeah.
I gotcha. Yeah, that might be what it is, because it's calling some Mac OS thing here locally that won't. Yeah, I think that's
exactly. Yeah, it's like a local dependency that needs root. Yeah, that pissed me off. So that's another reason I stopped using it. But
that's a reason enough for me to get rid of it, because no matter what, every time I run it, I always forget that. So I should just build that in the Ansible, where I just run a local.
I can give you mine. Sudo w. It's pretty.
Run it'll, like a sudo w.
It,
Yeah.
I made it so it'll do it for Ubuntu and Debian. I did not bother going to the Red Hat flavors. So
yeah, I don't use those.
No, it's fucking
nice. Yeah, I refactored a bunch of stuff this week, which was pretty cool.
I have on my list a bunch of refactoring to do.
Yeah.
On my list.
I don't mind doing it. It doesn't really bother me too much. So it's just a matter of getting through it.
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff on this list.
Solana backend RPC Lavender 5 health check error. FYI.
Really?
Yeah. You probably just closed the port out to me. That's all it was. Oh, man. Rama asked, did anyone get cut from the Evmo set? Woohoo! I did.
Everyone, baby. Yeah, me.
So wait, that's how many vials is Evmos down to then?
20.
20? 16.
16? 20? Something like that. Yeah.
Sounds like everybody that got cut just got dealt a favor.
I think Schultz's in, right? Aren't you still in there? No, Schultz got cut too.
No. Thank God.
Yeah. Both L5 and us are out. That was awesome. Dude, running that Ansible delete command on that chain was fucking awesome. It was amazing.
You've got an Ansible delete?
I got an Ansible fuck this chain.
I'm out.
Same. Purge Cloudflare. Purge all of that.
Get rid of the systemd. Get rid of the actual build files. Get rid of that fucking thing. And then at the end,
tender duty.
Yeah, everything. It all just wipe clean.
That's
there. 20 validators
to do it yourself. Like you slight switch off each bit of life support as you go.
Just
turn it off.
Then yeah, we have to care a lot for that, right? Like some of these chains, it's just like don't care enough. Boop, see ya.
Yeah, fair enough. I think it was like Curb. We were trying to work out how to unbond gracefully, and we just ended up pulling the plug on the server and just saying, oh, fuck it. Like,
that's next. Next one is...
I forgot, the extent to which it was like, pretty sure forgot to turn off page duty first, and that was like, oops.
That's next.
We definitely did that when, what are they called? Fucking Grafana? Tried to like we briefly exceeded the free tier for some stuff we were running, and they were like host of Grafana were like, you guys are gonna have to pay. And it was like, oh shit, well, we already have a monitoring box for most stuff and we just need to move these last few things over, so let's just do that. But then forgot that we didn't just have monitoring on it, we also had alerts, and so like just booped it off, and then major duty went totally fucking mental. And it was like, oh god, like when it's like literally sending you like three alerts or four alerts or four different networks at once because everything is fucked, you're like, ah, how do I even see? So just like disable. Oh,
goodbye.
Yeah, that was annoying. 15 minutes where it's just like, why have I done this to myself? Why?
It's a good feeling. I think next we'll do it where we'll do a TVL search. If that TVL is under like 25 grand, then it will automatically unbond, delete all nodes, tweet out, peace out from stick Twitter. That's it.
That's a good
You know who's going to do the Irish goodbye?
Scramble the keys. It's all gone.
Good portion of the cosmos.
Couldn't even come back if I wanted to. Amazing. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's going IC, not ICS, it's IC something, right? What do they call that? We talked about last week.
ICS? Was it going to Neutron?
Partial set, right?
Partial set. PSS?
PISS, I think.
I think it's such an amazing thing for, it's PISS, lowercase I. It's such an amazing thing for a chain to have a run and then dump shit on validators for dumping tokens, and then to the point where the chain is on life support, goes to partial set security, then they have to pay the vals to actually validate.
Don't they always have to pay the vals to validate? It's just
before they do from the mint, which actually we should bring up that graph. That graph was also interesting that came out this week. On the
flow of funds.
That
was a good graph.
I'll put a link to the show notes in this too, but it was, I forget who did that at research. I should have had it available because I meant to save it. Maybe Schultz, you have it. But there was basically a flow of funds, I guess you could call it, from both the mint as well as fees on Osmosis, right? And the breakout percentages of what went to delegators, what went to validators, what went to the dev team, right? Or the foundation slash whatever the fuck. community funds, etc.
Foundation/whatever the fuck.
So,
you know, people talk about the validators dumping, but it's always about it, the problem is always the whatever the fuck.
that's the part, in my experience, and I hope to find my experience
will soon be validated by rigorous academic research and field work.
But we'll put a link in the show notes to it, which I thought that was a really, it was a really cool analysis, because we've talked about this in the past too, right? Like what, how much is actually being taken by 5% validator commissions, and we don't validate in Osmosis. I don't give a shit, but it's a good representation and visual to thing. And I thought it was also amazing that the first comment was fucking validators, which literally on this chart, they have like the smallest piece out of this, which is always
also
amazing.
As Rama says, you know, the pithy summary, devs eating 50K Osmo a day.
It wasn't that much. I don't think, was it?
Yeah, I think so. It was like, when is that? Because I think the total in that chart was 187K or so. Right? Emissions? Oh, yeah.
45,662 in this example.
Baby. Yeah. It was a substantial.
Is this a day? This is not per day, though, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Holy shit, yeah. It is.
Whoa. And you're like, why is the token price? Where's the token price in the toilet when I need to sell my validator rewards to pay for my servers?
So the overall. Answer,
maybe.
So this no, for folks who aren't going to look at this graph, I'll put it in the notes. Revenue was about 40,000 Osmo a day. Inflation, the mint, basically 182,000 a day. So out of that, let's say 220, 110.
Let's back up a little bit and talk about what the revenue is. Revenue would be things for like, so Osmosis is a decentralized exchange. So a lot of that revenue would be from like trading fees.
Swaps, right?
And swaps, yep. And then there is the thing built by Skip for MEV ProtoRev. I want to say it's called. That's like MEV protection. So that's where the revenue is coming from. But the point being, it's significantly lower than inflation.
Yeah, which, I mean, honestly, 40,000 Osmo a day is actually more than I thought.
Yeah, as far as crypto projects go, that's pretty interesting, actually.
That's actually reasonable. Like,
is that right? So we're
trash talk.
If that number is the div in the room. That's quite reasonable, actually.
So that's, what is that? That's in USD, that's $16,000 a day. Is that right? Plus or minus $5.8 million a year.
That's pretty cool.
Reasonable.
$6 million in actual revenue a year. I mean, in that term, that sounds pretty meaningless, to be honest. But
are they dumping it, though? Are they dumping it?
So,
yes.
So anyway, so 220 inbound, I guess, through Make Believe and also through fees and through ProtoRev. And then outbound was about 110,000. So out of that 220, 110, basically half, right, goes to delegates. Another 46,000 or so goes to the community pool. Another 46,000 goes. So basically 1-to-1 with the community pool goes to dev vesting. And then validators get 5,700 or 6,000. So 6,000 out of 220, which is
0.25% or 2.5%.
Two point seven percent goes to the val set, and the val set's pretty large, right? I guess it doesn't matter how large it is; it's just whatever.
Two vals.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's going to be the top five validators get 1%, and then 173 validators or 170 validators share 1%.
Yeah,
if that.
So that's basically $2,300 a day right now, times, what is that? About 583,000 a year divided by 140 vals. How many vals are in Osmosis right now? 100.
I think 100.
Is this still 100? I forget.
I thought it was 150 for some reason, but I could be wrong.
That seems way high. Is it that high? Or is it 100 still? No, they bumped up the set, right? Maybe 120?
It's 150. Yep, 150.
Which is an average of $323 a month. Nice. Well, definitely.
And obviously the tail is longer than that. So if you're towards the bottom of that,
that's $3,800
a year on average. Baby.
That's $3,800 a year on average, which I would think the average out of 150, the median or mean? I can never remember.
Median.
I think. The median is probably like validator number fucking 20, 30. Yeah. Maybe out of that group, which means from there.
The median
No, the median, right?
The median would be median. All of them lined up in a row. It would be number 75. And then
so it'd be the mean. Which validator would have the like, if you took them all and divide and average them, which one would actually be
you mean which one would be the marker of the 50th percentile?
Yes.
Yes. I think you're right.
21. It would be like, 21.
Yeah, 21. So you fucking guessed it almost dead on 21. The money.
I took a guess on 20. So, so 130 validators making less than $400 a month.
And the hardware requirements of Osmosis at the moment are,
I mean,
one really single high. Potato.
They're really high, actually, because I mean, they're really RAM heavy because our RPC nodes keep fucking choking on. They go, I cut them off at like 64 gigs, and they still fucking owe them out of that.
So basically, you're talking like Hetzner is your option at that price.
Well, I mean,
tell me a provider that will reliably be up for $400 with 64 gig of RAM a month.
Oh, there's a lot of those. I'm not saying that, but I mean, if you want to actually make something out of it, I mean, if you want to spend $400 a month on something, yeah, sure. You can, there's a lot of places you can run it, but if you want to actually make a dollar, then yeah, start to, but if you're 150 in this set, like how much are you losing on this thing? It's crazy.
Anyway, losing a few dollars, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But I do love this graph is awesome. Like I would love to look at this tool set to be able to redo this for everything that we run ever. It'd be awesome to see. So well done on this chart. Assuming it's accurate, which I would assume it is, based on the public peer reviews and people ripping into shit. But I do love it.
Like we think it's accurate, and then we will take a step back and be like, for the same reasons that we think upgrades are definitely correct.
Exactly.
And code is definitely correct.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because we've all looked at it and we're all tired, but and we all assume that everybody else has checked it.
Somebody else has checked it. None
of us really have checked it.
Yeah.
So speaking of everybody expecting somebody else to check it, did you see the Noble bug?
Yes.
It's a great bug. Of all the bugs, it's one of the bugs of all time. It really is.
Why don't you explain it a little bit?
I'm almost excited about this because I'm in no way fucking responsible for it. And that's the best kind of bug to see. So there was the bug was in, as I understand it, from thank you to the hard investigatory nose of our news researcher. The bug was in the XCCTP module in like the Go extensions bit, and it didn't verify the source sender, so anybody could send a burn message type, and it would just mint USDC or Noble. They say nobody did from their investigations. There was 35 million dollars was at risk. It was pretty crazy that nobody exploited it, but just goes to show that, you know, validators might not be checking the code, but neither are attackers in the Cosmos, because I guess it's just not profitable to attack Cosmos chains because there's no TVL. Although in this case, 35 million, God, that would have been good, wouldn't it? So it's a tidy little parcel.
So the way I understand it was, if I understand this defect specifically, you have a mint structure on the destination. And then there's a burn. So you would obviously wouldn't burn the tokens on the source until you knew that the transfer was completing, right? And so that burn was not authenticated. So you could say that it was burned when it wasn't.
I think it didn't like definitively check, like invariant style, that the
dude. Do we have to move this
check fucking the source of the funds?
Do we have to move this podcast 2 hours
I'm
earlier?
I'm running like mad, lad. Sorry about that. It was quite late. I think I'm ill with something. There's something, I don't know. Like, I've got that thing, you know, when you've had COVID and then you get like COVID thumb or COVID toes, where like every time you come into contact with somebody with COVID, you get like an inflamed extremity. Yeah. I had that all during the COVID years.
What? Is that a thing?
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's an autoimmune reaction, but your extremities react in a particular way. So I had like super, like my toes were just numb for 2 years after I first had COVID. It was super bad. But then as they returned to normal, like I've just got this weird thing where if I if I get my if my immune system gets tweaked by usually like flu or COVID, my my thumb and my right toes just go fucking mad. They're just like go completely numb. I'm just like, oh, I think I'm ill, or I'm about to be ill. And so like yesterday my thumb went totally numb and I was like, oh fuck, I've got loads of stuff to do this week, I can't get ill.
It went numb. That's bizarre. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, my thumb went, my right thumb went completely numb. And it's still pretty
fucking bizarre. Weird.
Yeah.
Wow. There's only those extremities. You can't dick doesn't grow 2 inches or something.
I wish. Anyway.
Damn.
What do I need a 20-inch dick for anyway? So anyway, that was all fun and games. So Noble, yeah, I mean, it kind of seemed like in the grander scheme of things, like it was handled relatively well, but people also didn't freak out that much, which was interesting.
Well, this also, it looks like, was this a Circle issue or a Noble team issue? I couldn't tell because the repo is actually in the Circle GitHub. So it wasn't clear. But everybody in that, I mean, obviously everybody who's contributing to that repo is either from Noble or from Strangelove. I think I actually didn't go through every single contributor, but there wasn't a ton of contributors involved.
I think if you are going to work officially with USDC, presumably you have some kind of like relationship with them, which is why it's in the GitHub.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But because it's like a trusted or a blessed whatever.
Yeah.
But it's Noble that maintain that, isn't it?
Noble CCTP. It is in the Circle Fin GitHub structure, but like I said before, those contributors are all over the place. But I wasn't sure, and also from the
are we getting into foundation versus dev team versus company that is USDC, well, financial.
It's a partnership of some sort, right? There has to be some sort of partnership here.
But what is the exact structure behind this?
I don't even know.
Who even owns that GitHub, usurper?
It has to be licensed, right? Circle have to be selling these as like a license structure, because they could have wrote this themselves. They don't have to have Noble be a third party, right? So what's up, Schultzy? Oh, that was an Irish exit.
I was like, is Schultzy got a hand up to tell us the answer to that question? No.
No.
He just handed in the Irish goodbye.
That sounds like
he just disappeared without even waving. That would be an Irish goodbye.
That sounds like a baby thing.
To be fair, Schultzy looked pretty tired. I think he probably maybe he's realized that if he drops the show right now, he can get 30 minutes of sleep, which would be totally legit. That would be a pretty good use of time, I would say, for a man in his position.
We got to space these babies out more. No, this is not good, man.
No, Nala's about to experience.
Literally, 2 weeks from now, it's just gonna be the Frey and I sitting on this podcast. That's all it's gonna be left.
I'm on the countdown to fucked. Yeah,
you're on the highway to hell. No, it's great. It's fantastic.
I want to bitch about internet provisions.
What is that?
How can it possibly take a supplier 6 weeks to provide an internet connection in a data center?
That seems to be excessive.
Because you've chosen the wrong supplier. Next question.
Well, usually those suppliers are telcos, and telcos don't give a shit.
It's a telco and they don't give a shit.
Yeah, they don't give a shit. I remember, not to date myself, but back in like the 90s, we used to put in like T1 lines all the time and also in the 2000s, like put in T1 lines for data or for phone, right? Because you had to have 24 bond channels on a T1 to get 24 phone lines. And those guys, they would plan out like 4 to 5 months. Like, yeah, we're gonna put we'll get that out there, and this will take this long, and then we'll ship the hardware in fucking June, and then we'll be out there in October. Like, dude, we need a fucking phone line tomorrow. Like, let's go.
If it is a telco, he's in the telco industry, and he says it's the ordering process that takes the longest. Man, it's like everything's there. They literally have to like provision it in their software and install like an SFP or whatever they do with their splicing. Patch a bite. I can confirm telcos don't give.
They don't give a shit. They're on their own. Look, where are they going? Nobody's taking the shit for weight. Like if they bring in fiber in for you, they're not, nobody else is coming to do that. So they have like, it's like, yeah,
take the, as long the as the fiber's already under. There, man. The fiber's there.
They gotta go flip and switch.
They gotta go like, what? So I was in the splicing room yesterday, right? In the you know, the fucking room.
Yeah.
And like they do, so I need structured cabling from my rack to the splicing rack, right? In the dungeon. Seems and that's done. That's got nothing to do with them. I need to order a cross connect to get my structured cabling connected to their structured cabling. That's a day, right?
Yeah.
But on their end, they need to provision the service through their software, right? Like the IP transit and all that type of stuff. I imagine most of that software, and then they need to connect it then to the DMARC rack, which is where all the telco stuff is in a separate spot. So it's, you know, the cross connects and that is like a couple of days, and the order provisioning on their system, I guess, is what takes the time. It's just, it's crazy. It even says, like in their portal, it says that the build is done, right? After like 2 weeks, but they're testing the service has been there for like a week. What kind of fucking tests are you doing, man?
Yeah. Like 200 monkeys banging on keyboards and shit, trying to make sure the route works.
Exactly. Well, actually, sorry, no, that was wrong. So design service started on the 6th. Build service finished on the 26th. So 20 days between designing and building.
Yeah.
And now they're testing. So they've been testing for like 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. Because most of these, they go for years and years. So they're like, yeah, it takes time. Like, so there's no service in the rack. Is that what you're saying?
Got no service in the rack.
You can't even NAT to something else that the DC has on nothing.
No. It is pretty nifty though, in terms of like if I had another rack in there, say I already had internet in my rack, right?
Yeah.
In this DC. And if I wanted to get another rack, right? I don't have to go out and get another internet connection for that rack. I can just get online. Yeah, I just get across. Once I've got the, it's called structured cabling. Once the cabling's in.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, I can connect to 12 other things with that one lot of structured cabling, because it's got 12 fibers in it. So
I don't know why you're so amazed with that, because that seems like they're just running the cable from here to there. That seems like the easiest piece. Yeah, we can do routes.
They don't even do that though. Like, it all goes back to the one,
sure,
you know, like patching room.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, good to know. I can, if you had a rack there, I could cross connect your rack and we could.
I would not
touch tips.
Can I get access to this archive?
I'm amazed by the small things.
Yeah. For $1,000.
Yeah, man, for $1,000.
Man.
I'm just sitting here waiting for this to end so I can fucking go back to writing Ansible.
Amazing.
That's what my week has boiled down to. Just,
well, I'm sorry we're interrupting your.
I know, what the hell,
wanking around with Ansible.
Well, I'm in the Ansible zone. You know when you like get in the zone of something and it's like all you can think about, you're taking a shit and you're like, oh, I can improve that by doing this thing.
By the way, that doesn't really happen. You're just like
trying to snap it off so you can get back to it.
Okay, make it happen.
I don't know. I did that for 15 years of my life, and.
But it kind of goes in cycles, right? Like some points I'm like, I'm working on this shit for like infrastructure and tooling for a month, and then I ignore it. Like I just run it. And if there's something wrong, I just work around it. Like that stupid fucking Zabbix thing we were talking about before. I didn't want to go fix it. So like I would run that, it would put the wrong config file in there, and I would manually go, every time I added the server, I would go manually go fuck that file up. Because I knew what the issue was. I would just go fucking do it. And I did that for like a month and a half because like I don't want to get into this stupid shit right now. Like, I don't care.
I've been manually installing Zabbix for about 3 months.
And now I flipped the other way. I was like, I'm fucking solving this. God damn it. Like, I'm fixing this fucking problem.
Well, and then you fix that one. You're like, fuck, man, there's like about 25 other things that need fixing as well.
That's what I was doing. Yeah. I solved, like, I've been doing a lot with like EVM chains and just fucking rocking that shit out. And the other, and also Zabbix, because, or not Zabbix, yeah, Zabbix, the templates, because of you, because you're like, I'm fixing this thing, and you got, you started it, and then you flipped it over the fence, and then I was like, all right, I'm fixing this fucking thing.
The EVM thing, yeah, I do that.
Yeah, I'm that, like, and also the Solana one, and now I'm starting to look at the Cosmos one, because I want to fix and just make some change. Like, I want to do public RPC checks. I want to actually do that automatically off Cosmos directory. There's a bunch of things I want to do. And also, we're only doing execution layer on the EVM side. I want to do the consensus engine and start doing some better monitoring of that as a sub and like just all this other shit. And then if I do that and I need to go back in the Ansible and have like, I already use like port prefixes on the EVM side. And so now I got to go back and go to the consensus side. I got to open up all these ports and like all this shit. So it just turns into a big thing.
I'm not a real big polishing guy. I'm like I'm a big 80% guy. Yeah.
Good enough. That's why we work well together. That's why we work well together. Because you do it, you're like, I got all the stats, but I'm not doing the fucking triggers. It's like, God damn it.
I hate
flipping over. I'm like, all right, I'm doing all the triggers. All right, fine, do all the triggers. You're like, I'm not doing any graphs. I'm like, all right, I'll do the fucking graphs.
Yeah, because that's
Then I question your data gathering. I was like, why the fuck are you doing this? I'm like, I'm redoing this. And then you tell me why, because then all of our conversations are delayed by a day because of goddamn time zones. So at 9 a.m., I'm changing all this shit because you're asleep. And then you wake up and I go, why the hell did you do this? You go, because of this. I was like, oh, that's really good. That's a really good reason. Then I go, undo all this shit I just did for the whole day. I go, undo all that shit. It's like, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
When I read that you like undid that, I was like so pissed off. I was like, fucking.
I know. I knew it from your Discord. I was like, I undid. Yeah, this could be. Yeah.
Like, I thought real hard about that while I was taking a shit and then fucking,
Rama says this conversation could be a DM.
It is a DM, yeah.
I mean, that is to some extent this entire podcast, but
It is. Exactly. It's just broadcasting the group call. That's all it is.
Interestingly, my the Discord notifications broke about 9 months ago.
What do you mean?
The Zabbix Discord notifications, the webhook thing broke.
Oh yeah.
About 9 months ago.
Yeah,
and like I couldn't fix it, so I just made it Slack instead. I don't know what's wrong with it.
Everybody has energy to do some things and not others, and that's just, it's different for every person.
If you can't fix something in a day, it's really fucked, and then just move on. Like
a day, wow, that's
luxury. I mean, if you can't fix it in a day, you ain't fixing it, right?
Or it's not worth fixing. Fuck it.
I mean, for infrastructure, that's probably the case. For software, I think no, there's plenty of things.
Well, I mean, in this context, it's something that was working and then all of a sudden wasn't without changing anything. And if you can't find an obvious reason within a day, it's like, well,
if you can't find a smoking gun within
something under the hood.
Yeah,
if you can't find a smoking gun within a day, you're in trouble for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely some under the hood shit that I'm not getting into. So I feel like the only way to fix it would be to rebuild the stack, which I am not doing.
It's probably
something. Oh, except for when we move to V7, sir. That's going to be fun.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Well,
which we need to do at the same time because now we're joined at the fucking hip.
Well, I feel like we've been marinating on that already for fucking 2 months.
Is it live?
Yeah, it's live.
Oh, it's like in production?
Yeah. Gosh. I'm sure there'll be a 7.4 soon. They seem to skip to 0.4 pretty quick.
Maybe I will take a backup and dump that database and bring it somewhere else and see how it looks. See what's up.
Yeah, it's got good HA features now.
Oh,
it's
changed
some stuff, and it's got some good async shit, so hopefully it'll stop getting gaps in the data. So I did read the release notes. It looks pretty exciting from a NOPS perspective, but it also, like, every time there's an upgrade it breaks shit, so joy. Although I will do it very soon before Null Jr. arrives.
Oh shit, that's really soon. Why don't you wait 6 months? Let's give it some time first. I don't want to do that right now.
Because, like, you know, before important life events, I like to evaluate everything. And if it ain't broke, broke it.
Yeah, exactly. I think really fucking around with the most stable thing that you have.
Yeah, the most stable, most important part of my stack. Let's start fucking around with that when
before you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. we're kind of like at that point now where, you know, there is like a date, but it could happen at any time. So
yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, they always say first kids, I don't know if it happened that way for us. I don't remember what our original due date was with our first, but usually first kids bake a little bit longer and then second kids sometimes can come out a little bit faster.
That's the accepted wisdom, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But again, depends on, I mean, depends you talked about size. That was our issue too, which was like, oh, like this baby's too big and blah, blah, blah. And all that, which was total horseshit. Like it totally wasn't. Like it's tough to measure the size of this kid, like and the weight
Well, so they don't really know. There's no, even with an ultrasound, it's all guesswork.
Yeah, they're measuring and then they're trying to do some sort of averages based on
the big thing is that there's like a tipping point where you're like technically at term. And if you go and you have any medical consultation where at some point a doctor says something like, well, should we be on the safe side? At that point, you know you're about to go to hospital and not leave until you have a child in your hands.
Yeah.
And what I would really strongly recommend is not doing what we did and assume that you're about to pop in for an hour and then get out and then continue on to your anniversary lunch. Instead, assume
you're coming on.
True story. Instead, assume that you are in for a potentially 1 to multi-day ordeal and you will never sleep again.
On the 50th percentile for like every metric, you know, the 52nd mm-hmm. percentile, size, weight.
Well, you find out when they come out,
all that stuff.
Validated.
We were on like the 10th or the 20th or whatever when they were like worried about it, and then when it all child in hand, it was 50th.
Yeah.
And 50th for weight, I think, and 99th or 90th for length.
Yeah. Like a surfboard.
Yeah, crazy. Like hugely long. And that's why they were like, oh, so this is why we had no fucking clue. And you're like, oh, because the child was slightly longer than you anticipated he could be.
A lot of responsibility for 2.7% of the mint and revenue numbers, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Making a business sound like a validator thing.
He doesn't even get that callback to that. Great piece of thingy. Mm-hmm. That great
trying to understand my bank statement at the same time.
That's a good time to do it.
Do you have
right now is a fantastic time. Right now.
On the side, Noel, have you got everything in a pretty robust place for the level of fucked you're about to be?
I'd say no. Like I've got so much shit to do.
How's the baby room doing?
Room's sorted. Yeah.
That's all sorted?
Okay. All the baby stuff is sorted. It's been prioritized.
Yeah, yeah. You got a go bag. Everything's ready to go.
I've got a lot of fucking like life admin to do though. Like you know, reconciliation.
You got a bag for you?
Wait, hey. You mean personal or family?
When you're at the hospital, right? You are fending for yourself. Nobody gives a fuck about you. So you know,
no
make sure you got
like about me now. What?
Well, sure. But like, make sure you got a couple of.
This is gonna be any fucking different. Well, I saw the footstool I get to fucking sleep on. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. But like, it's all fun and games until you're there and you're like, oh, fuck, I didn't throw the bottle of water or whatever in the go bag and the hospital canteen's closed now. You're fucked.
My partner was
don't
like...
What I'm saying is don't fucking worry about your answer board. Just make sure your go bag is grade A. And that you've got a laptop power pack in there would be a smart bet as well.
Yeah, I had a laptop open that day when my wife was in labor, because she was in labor for a long time. I remember having a laptop open that day fixing shit. So shit happened.
So this, the hospital where we're, so Kelly, she's having a Caesar, right?
Yeah.
She's doing a Caesar. And then the hospital is right by her parents' house. So I don't know. We're talking yesterday and she's like, we're talking about, you know, public and private. And she's like, well, you know, one of the main reasons we've got the private is so that you can have a place to sleep. I'm like, are you talking about that fucking footstool at the end of the bed, like you know, where the husband gets to fucking, you know, relax and sleep? And she's like, yeah, so I would rather have fucking stayed at home.
Yeah. A lot of wards you just get kicked off when closing time, when it's no longer visiting hours. If you're the husband or partner, they just go get the fuck out.
Oh, but I mean, what use am I? Like, what I don't understand, you guys might be an answer. What fucking use am I? Like, you don't have tits.
Nappies. Changing nappies is the actual honest answer.
So
I told Mr. Schulze.
I would much rather show up, for example, in the morning and, you know, take over,
somebody's nappy the only reason
in the morning.
The only reason you might be useful, right, is that the other person has just had major surgery, right? And the child needs nappy changes and they are, that is quite a dexterous activity and it's tough on the lower back and a lot of other things, right? And when you recover, for the first 10 to 14 days after you have a C-section, you cannot change a nappy. It's not physically possible. So in the hospital, really it has to be midwives, or health workers.
If they're not around,
if they're doing ward rounds or whatever, you can just have a crying baby that needs a nappy change. So you can help with that if you're in the room. Otherwise, but that's the main thing you can do. That's it, right?
I'll do it. What I'm saying is there really a need for me to be there 24 hours a day?
There is. I told Mr. Schulze, I'll tell it to you too. Her job, when you're in the hospital, like there's tons of help, right? And like, no, you don't need to change.
That's what I'm talking about. In the context of the hospital for those 4 days after the birth, is there really a need for me to be there 100% of the
days?
Time?
No, I don't think so.
You get kicked out in 24 hours here.
Here, 24 to 36 maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
If everything's looking okay, you're out pretty quick. Yeah.
I think it's because there's some stuff around how you recover quicker at home potentially, and they don't want you to get like a hospital-based infection is more likely.
Yeah.
So they just because you've got a really small human, let's get you out. And then they send basically a nurse to your house the day after. They just want to get you out of the hospital as quick as possible, and then they send a nurse to you. That's kind of how it works here.
Yeah.
So you only really have the first night. They want to see that you can feed. That's about it, I think.
Make sure you're not a psycho.
I guess it was pretty. Also, check your mental state. Maybe there's a lot of stuff around that.
But even at the hospital, her job is to take care of the baby, right? Your job is to take care of her. And cesareans are no joke, man. It's like major surgery. Do not put your head on the other side of that fucking thing either. By the way, do not look over. Do not look. I'm telling you, you might be tempted to go look.
I feel like you've done it before.
Don't look.
what they say is that my friend who's a pediatrician says that loads and loads of blokes look and then they just
pass out,
fucking faint.
They fucking faint.
It's a big problem. Yeah.
I mean, literally
fall over in the hospital, in the operating theater and fuck everything up.
There's a lot of stuff between the skin and the baby and it all comes out. Like you're just picking things up and then moving them over, and don't look. Okay. So
yeah, it
sounds like people throw it around like, oh, I had a C-section, no big deal. It is pretty significant surgery, and like the scars that can be there and the risks of breaking those and the ability to, it's like a hernia surgery where you can like easily pop that open, or do something similar to that. Like it's pretty bad. And so, but babies are small and she's going to be determined, all that kind of stuff. But your only job is to make sure that she has what she needs. And Rama says, I looked, was cool as fuck, especially when the baby came out. I agree. I looked too.
I'll probably look.
It also depends on where you look, because some parts are not bad and other parts are not good.
I mean, yeah, I have some interest in that. Like, I don't think I'll be a fainter. I'm like pretty.
I don't think you can ever unsee it. Would be my only negative review.
It's like you dream about it. It's like, ooh,
just fucking, yeah, just.
Well, it's just a pile of guts. So if you've seen guts before,
No,
not gonna wake up in the middle of the night with a cold sweat. And, fuck that Caesar, man. Jesus Christ.
It's like Full Metal Jacket. You've seen Full Metal Jacket a couple times. You're okay.
Yeah, it's just like very weird, you know.
I love Full Metal. I'm going to watch that later today and put that on the fucking screen up here. That is that is also a problem when I'm trying to do work, is that the screen gets distracting sometimes. You know, it's just like background noise, but then you see a scene you like, and then you just like,
fucking put movies on while you're working.
I do too. Yeah, I put YouTube shit on. I put all sorts of shit on the back.
Yeah. Man, it's fucking.
This is why I have to go into a shared office. I have to be in a place where people can kind of see the edge of my screen, so it's fucking obvious that I'm just fucking around. Somebody be like, "Dude, are you fucking watching? Are you fucking watching Full Metal Jacket?" And I'll be like, "I mean, dude, you can come watch."
So is this like it's you just can't handle the shame of like not being fully focused on work? Is that like, what do you care what these other people fucking see on your screen?
They're good lads,
huh?
Well, like everybody else is like focused and working and shit. So you kind of collectively keep each other honest, right?
I don't think it doesn't mean we're not focused or working.
Nah, but I mean,
I'm watching TV, but like I either have music
just like
on,
having or people in the room. Yeah, it's like having, you know.
Yeah,
it's
but
like,
it's much more distracting than but pottering around making coffee and shit. Like,
I find it a bit disturbing when you don't have music or a show on or something, and then you realize that you've just been fucking staring at that screen for like 8 hours and haven't moved and like just working. That's weird.
Oh, that's just flow sometimes.
That's like an office.
Yeah.
You're like, people are in 20
depressed people in a row. Fucking one bad line of code away from fucking blood on the wall.
How do you know that somebody's never been in an office before? Wait, you're saying that you sit at a desk without a TV and
you fucking what?
You work between breakfast and lunch?
You just do work and you're expected to work. And then if you don't work, that's like bad.
And then like,
it's nuts. You get loads of shit done.
Somebody tells you if they do a good job or not.
Somebody tells you about something called a 360 review that you have this week coming up.
That sounds awful.
I have worked in an office and I don't know what a 360 review is, but working in the office is I could take it or leave it. It's good to have other people to go and get like, you know, coffee with.
Yeah, that part I miss a bit. That part I missed, especially in lunches. We should have
Hey, man, what are you doing for lunch? Oh, nothing.
I had a beer with my lunch last week, and I was like, this is why you come into the office, is you go for a lunch with the boys.
Yeah. Yeah, that part I miss. I do miss that.
We can get lunch. So,
all right, dude. Date. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be there in fucking 17 hours.
Exactly. Seven.
Actually, to get to your place is probably more like 30 hours. But
what I do miss, What I miss out of that is owning like we're all entrepreneurs, right? Entrepreneurship. We are.
We're all entrepreneurs.
We are, right? Everybody else.
Sorry, I thought I was muted when I laughed loudly then. I realized I pressed the button wrongly. I was not muted.
It's a real thing. It's a real thing. Like,
the idea of being an entrepreneur in this space is like inherently hilarious. I don't know why.
You're ultimately responsible for your own income. That's a good definition of it. So when you're responsible for your own income and the future of that income, the one thing I do miss in like large office settings is being able to like just bullshit about things. And like you end up bouncing ideas and you have these epiphanies like, oh shit, we should be fucking right. Like, and that only happens, that rarely happens when you're like your shower thoughts and those types. It does happen in shower thoughts as well. Like, oh, you know, this is something we should totally do or blah, blah, blah. But when you're just fucking bouncing shit around, like I think we had that when we were in Austin together, just like you sit around the table or you're sitting on the back and you have a fire going and you're drinking, and then like, oh yeah, like we, and then you shared experiences and you start kind of like focusing on some sort of idea, and then like something comes up, you're like, oh fuck, this is a good idea, right? And that I definitely miss, like that, those are things that like from an office perspective, even having a small office of 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 people, you had a lot of those situations, whether that was in a meeting or whether that was in a lunch situation or like beers after work or something else, where you come up with like these great ideas. And I feel like I totally miss out on that because it's all on you. And you're like, you know, I got YouTube up in the corner and like those epiphanies don't necessarily happen in those situations. Right. So or at least if they do happen, they happen much, they, it takes much longer for them to happen, which is,
the nature of like what you can and can't reveal or do or don't reveal at given times as well makes it like really difficult to talk to people that don't do exactly what we do.
Yeah, right. I would agree with that. Like,
because it's so situational, and also like super fucking bluntly, half the time we don't know how we make money, and when we do make money, it's at least partly luck and accident, right? And so it's super fucking hard to like try and quantify like how you make decisions, like what's good, what's shit, like other than like what Artifact says, you know, kiss 1,000 frogs, right? Some will be fine, right? Like we all have a rationale that's slightly better than that joke version of things, but it's not wildly better. And so it means when you're trying to bounce ideas around with other people, like you sound like the closer you get to telling real people who run their own businesses or whatever, and who are might be able to relate to the situation we have, the closer you get to like describing reality, the more you can see the big Metal Gear Solid exclamation mark appearing over their head.
Yeah.
Where they're like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Yeah. That's actually one of the benefits.
Unrelatable.
Well, that's one of the benefits of actually going to these conferences. Not only just hanging with these guys, but like you meet other people and they all have, there's like a shared understanding of specific situations, right?
It is the thing. I miss about not having been to any conferences for a related ecosystem that we work in for a while now.
Yeah,
there's just fucking, there's nobody to talk to.
Yeah, exactly. And even like this fall, I'm skipping a bunch of shit because I just don't. I don't know. Whatever, different reasons. But like that's the one piece I miss out on is those conversations, right?
It's coming up a bit recently because like we're specifically doing business development. We're going to be doing some like business development coaching, I guess. Which is like a lot of it is, to be honest, like it's just giving you a space to have that kind of conversation and then have somebody who knows more about, you know, sales and business growth just echo it back to you, right? And then you go figure it out. But you're like, isn't it? It's just a very weird experience to have got to that point of being like, fuck, you actually need, at least that's the conclusion I've come to, right? Is like, if it was me as an individual looking to build my skills, I'd be like, oh fuck, I think I've hit an impasse from a professional perspective. I need to get a coach or something.
Yeah.
And then like from a business perspective, you're like, I don't know how we land the clients that we do, how to make that repeatable, or what our USP is as a business. I have some gut guesses, but none of them are quantifiable for me right now. I don't have the ability to quantify them. I think I need to... figure that out.
Well, the good news about, I think, this business, Rama says, this all sounds very sad and lonely. It's really not because...
This isn't a cry for help, Rama. That should be the name of this podcast.
Yeah, right.
This isn't a cry for help.
Resounding cry for help.
I'm also not, I'm not living on an island in the middle of the South Pacific. Like there's a lot of people around me as well. Even in this town, like there's a lot of folks that are in this industry that do, even though they don't work for me, that do allow those things to happen, which is really great with great teams. Like Strangelove is here, Lavender 5 is here. Like those are good opportunities for us to be able to do those types of things. So that's really nice. And at the same time, like you said, like the ability to be able to have those opportunities to get out and then also to meet new folks who have those same conversations, etc., I think is pretty positive. But it's not sad and lonely. What the hell?
I think the problem
I've got Rama just down the road.
Yeah.
Just 13 hours down the road.
It's the short 13 hours away.
We have like the opposite problem where, because there's a major city near us, like there are blockchain meetups, but they're overwhelmingly like people who are kind of interested in like quite a superficial level, it feels like, in the hype and want to get involved. And like they're obviously not the people we want to talk to. And then the companies who are already in the space, it's very Ethereum heavy. And it's very, very uncritically positive because a lot of the companies and people, it feels like, are more on the marketing side than the technical side. And so they just live in the world of they're selling the dream, right? And in infrastructure people, at the end of the day, we make our money by knowing the good and the bad and packaging that up into our experience. And also, like, if you're approaching a foundation, you go, look, here's the bad shit that we've experienced and we can help you through if it ever happens on your chain. Here's the good shit and we'll figure it out, right? But it's very unsentimental, right?
Sentimental is a good term.
No, but that's like, if there's one thing I've learned from the process of like at the end of a process of field work that I am literally at the end of now and interviews and stuff, the one word that I would use, regardless of the people I've spoken to on the record who have been varying degrees of positive or negative about the technology and yada, yada, yada. Passing. Everybody works here. Most people work here full time. The word is unsentimental. That is what validators are. We have to be unsentimental. And those that are not unsentimental about it do not last long.
Wait, you're saying that that theme has come up in all of your conversations?
Come up so far. And any of the, like, it's the tone of additional stuff that's happened or people that have got in touch to just offer feedback and blah, blah, blah.
That theme is unsentimental, meaning like they don't give a shit whether that thing lives or dies. It's just purely...
No, that I think that's you're painting on the not giving a shit. Unsentimental is unemotional. It's not, it's clear-eyed. It's not rose-tinted. It's like, this is what we've done. This is what we've been through. These are the things we've done. These are the reasons that we did them at the time. And it is what it is.
Okay. I don't know if that's like, unsentimental to me.
That put that on a t-shirt. Validation. It is what it is. You know, it's like Vonnegut,
right next to like,
yeah, so it goes, right? like Kerberos, so it goes,
so it goes,
you know, so it goes, whatever, you know.
Unsentimental.
Yeah,
I think I'm sentimental on some chains though.
Are you?
Maybe that's the reason I'm not.
Maybe that's the reason I'm not.
Maybe that's what's holding me back.
Yeah, I mean, my sentimentality is what holds me back in certain areas, for sure.
Yeah, you care about the fucking server next to the one that you're melting in case it might be some fucking lost puppy rescue on that thing.
To give a shit
how we started this conversation. You're sentimental about something that doesn't even exist. It's totally make-believe.
All right.
It's in your head. It's in your head. What if that is a cancer research center? It's not. It's not. It's somebody renting a fucking server for nothing.
It's just one of those ones that Noah bought because it was on offer and he doesn't even use for anything.
Exactly. Exactly. Just
all those ones that I buy that because they're on offer are all shit.
Why don't you just not buy them?
Sit there idling. I, you know, you could have a use one day. It's a disease, man.
It is a disease.
Just addicted to servers. Just
it is.
On the back streets looking for cheap servers and lots of risk.
I swear. Yeah, I need that thing one day, it's a bargain.
Well, my other issue is like I've been ordering servers and then like they take a while to come in because for our providers, and then they come in and then I forget about them. Like
holy shit, man, TerraSwitch is fucking terrible for delivering fucking
servers. They are. And then I just have somebody from another provider here in the US. And then like I was waiting for like, I don't know, like a couple of weeks or something like that. Or it was July and it was supposed to be in August and all this stuff. I had like three or four in order, and then they showed up and it was like, oh cool, they're here. And then last night I woke up at like midnight, like, oh shit, I have four servers that I'm spending like a grand a month on that I haven't done anything with it. Like they're sitting there.
Yeah, you order it. 6 months later, it finally gets fucking delivered, and all of a sudden, you get an invoice for $3,000 for shit you don't need anymore. You just like,
it's totally what it is. Like, oh shit.
Okay, like, so not on TerraSwitch, we don't use them, but we finally, like, after like a long period of our accounts being like totally fucked. Sorry, this is not about tax, but it's about management accounting. We finally have started getting quarterly management accounting that is actually trackable for the crypto stuff. Cause it took we switched accountants over a year ago. It takes a full financial year for everything to settle down to the point that you can get management accounts because of the way the token prices are calculated. We finally are in a position that last quarter I got a fucking management accounts thing and it's now backdated for the entire of the financial year just gone. Oh my God. But the reason that this has suddenly jumped into my head is because of the thing you were saying about waking up in the middle of the night, realizing what you're spending on servers.
Yeah.
When you have somebody who is now, like your accountants in this case, they now give you a report, and you know that, you know, you have like X providers, right? And these boxes for these test nets or whatever are just over there. And you're like, ah, you know, we have a longer commitment on them. We don't worry about them. When somebody puts all that shit on an itemized list that you can, even with a short attention span, like glance over and you can see quarter by quarter what those numbers are, like top line servers, top line miscellaneous, top line, whatever, you're like, oh God. Right. Yeah. Me, when I sometimes do wake up in the middle of the night, I'm like, did I remember to cancel that server? Suddenly, when you see the numbers are involved, you're like, fucking should get up at that exact moment, go downstairs, grab the laptop and deal with it like that fucking second. Cause oh my God, it adds up.
Hold on.
Are you telling me that you just now have fucking accounting software with a ledger?
No.
So what are you talking? Like, that should just be in your general ledger. How come you don't know this stuff?
The fuck are you talking about? Well, you don't know what your profit and loss position is, do you?
Of course you do. You can fucking pull that up right now.
I can pull that up, but it's not so much. It's not so much that it's when
projecting it forward for your current financial year is the problem.
And also when it's presented,
we just have a balance sheet, and we can do profit and loss and a balance sheet. We can see like where everything's going on but a month to month.
We didn't have any of that fucking stuff because of the position we were in previously.
That doesn't really necessarily matter. I think the point is, like, the other thing I've noticed is before I used to run all this shit through like a personal card, like, or my partner's, like, whatever. But so we do expense reports, right? So I would run an expense report every month, which is a pain in the dick, but you run an expense report. So there it is. I know what the charge is. I have to add it. You know, I'm classifying it correctly, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm getting rid of this. I'm just going to do like a, you know, a corporate fucking thing. And then the corporate thing automatically pulls. It's a debit type structure and it just goes right there. That has been poor because then when you see an expense report and you're putting in a $4,000 fucking colo bill or something like that, you're like, what the fuck is in this? Right? Because it's coming out of you and then I'm carrying that balance for however long because I'm late on expenses. It's like, what the hell is in this? Like, what the fuck is this thing? $4,000. When it comes out directly as a debit, it just goes, right? Like it's automatically there. It's just pulled. It's no big deal. All I do is I click a button. It says, yeah, proof. It's fine. Or like it just gets, you know, just getting tagged the right way to the P&L. That is more dangerous because what I've noticed is like you get complacent on exactly what's in those, where I'm dumping bills in there, but you're not really like, you still have a P&L, right? But the P&L shows like whatever it's going to show null, right? But you don't know, is that P&L like, that looks, is it fine? Is it within range? Is it next year or last year or whatever else? But it's not the same as actually going through every line item and say, what the hell? Why am I paying, you know, this dollar amount for this specific thing? Which I think I did better when it was an actual expense report because you'd actually comb through every single line to get annoyed at whatever the stupid ass server I'm paying for, that whatever the fuck. So don't do that. Don't do automatic billing is what I'm saying.
It comes back to the whatever the fuck.
It always does.
It always does. That's how it goes. Do you want to talk about any of these other news items?
How about friend of the show, Don Kryptonium, and previous Game of Nodes award winner?
Yeah.
Colin, also friend of the show, Sunny.
Calling Sunny out Sunny. Yeah.
Yeah, calling out Sunny. There's a link to a tweet.
It's quite funny, actually, to be fair.
Don says, I could teach you in advance to another level, Sunny. I could teach you instead of saying, quote, we didn't have another option with UST, to saying, quote, we fucked up. I could teach you also, instead of saying community prop is, quote, good more liquidity. I'm not sure if that's what he meant, to saying nobody needs that shit. So there's a link here. Also, what I noticed is like fucking Twitter threads. It's impossible to follow in this. Like the fucking UI sucks now. But anyway, there's a good thread about them going back about, again, I guess, 2020 hindsight and vision, right?
Yeah. But apparently, Pierre, $40,000. No, 40,000 Osmo a day. Different thing for revenue.
Yep.
But it is still revenue. It is still revenue. More revenue than most of the Cosmos.
Yeah, I would think. I don't know the Cosmos definitions. I would love to see this graph for Adam.
Yeah.
I would love to see this graph for Adam. I think it would be. It would be fascinating.
Atom is kept alive, I would guess, by on-ramping, off-ramping, and then brand name degeneracy. So like people who've just seen the name and they're like, oh, I want to get into Cosmos. Right. I buy Atom. Okay, cool. I buy Atom. I hold Atom. Okay. I hold Atom. Great.
Yeah.
Like all of the holders, all the diamond hands will be random people custodying on like Kraken and Coinbase because they heard about Cosmos, I reckon. Like, and the only brand association they have is Atom. And then like everybody who's actually in the eco is just using Atom as their off ramp. Probably. Anyway,
this is a good back and forth. There's some Quasar stuff in here. There is some Sunny saying we got heavily caught up in the UST frenzy and drank the Kool-Aid ourselves. There's a bunch of stuff in here. Going back to UST is like,
yeah,
we're pulling out some fucking skeletons.
Yeah. These are deep cuts at this point. That's over it's over fucking 2 years ago. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, fuck.
Boredom was real. Fucking bear market boredom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's UST, opened some old wounds.
UST was when people still had hope.
West in Peace Ones definitely sums up the Cosmos saying, even though they go back and forth about all this bullshit, the Cosmos, this is such a Cosmos Twitter tweet. Props to Sunny for engaging here. Like, forget all this shit. Props to Sunny for engaging here, though, and kind of doing short post coping to the error. I got wrecked, but still very, very Osmos Maxi. That is like fucking, you should put that in the Louvre. That's fucking amazing.
But the thing is, that's basically a drill tweet. That's basically a drill tweet.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, whatever happened to drill tweet?
What the hell? The week. Did you lose your book? Jesus Christ, how did we forget about that? We only have like one.
We had a week off and then we just completely forgot it existed.
All right, say when.
We only have one bit on this show. How did we forget about this? Null can do it.
Bringing back drill tweet of the week.
Okay. Say when.
Stop.
Left page or right page?
The left page, center, third from the top.
Okay. This is this section is economy and the markets. The tweet is fucking hell, there's some great ones here. Seems to me that in this foul economy.